Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard, the stage is set. Mississippi State set to play Texas this week. Big game. A lot of experts out there picking Mississippi State, including myself. I think the Bulldogs win this game. We'll kind of give you our final thoughts on the matchup later in the show. We'll look at the SEC weekend. Got a cool top 10 list for you, and you never know what else may be coming. But I want to thank everybody that's been so incredibly supportive of our family, and I want to brag a little bit about about my family. They're in Jones County, and obviously the name Robertson carries a little weight down there. And when I got to the First Baptist Church of Ellisville on Wednesday, I guess today's Friday, Wednesday, I get there about 5:15. There's about 200 people lined out the door. I'm not even sure how many were in the church, but at that time, I kind of quit counting, like 120. It was packed, and it says a lot about our family. It says a lot about that community, and people were so incredibly patient. I got a chance to meet some neighbors and people like that that knew my dad and my grandparents, and it's super cool. And appreciate your prayers and support so much. So many of you were kind enough to send a message, your post on social media and on the jeanspage.com message boards, Facebook, all that good stuff. You know, I mean, you spend your life like every day is just kind of work a day, right? I mean, you get up and like, okay, you take the dogs out and come in, punch up a couple of stories, and you hope people are paying attention. You do. And then something like this happens, and you find out how many people truly care, truly. And it is a wonderful thing. I do my best to reciprocate, too. You know, I spent a lot. Matter of fact, just somebody I texted, because I feel like that I've got maybe a keen ability to kind of sense suffering. I know my tribe, right? And reached out to somebody that I know, I won't say exceptionally well, but I know them. We have each other's phone numbers and that kind of stuff, and we correspond from time to time. But I just said, hey, just want to check in with you and see how you're doing, And I want to make sure you're okay, And those things, I think, matter because, it's one thing you see each other together and, it's like, hey, you guys doing okay? And everybody says the same thing. Oh, everything's great, even when it's not. And a lot of times people just don't want to get into it. But I think just showing you care means a lot to people. And that's kind of how, after that conversation ended, this person was like, this really means a lot to me. Thank you. And you never know what somebody's dealing with, and just being accessible and at times just kind of reaching out and showing interest in their lives, I think, is exceptionally important. But it was good to be home in some respects, even under the worst of circumstances. And, we always say this, and I told my cousin Jonathan, I was like, man, listen, we got to stop doing it like this. We got to just pick a date, and who can make it can make it, and who can't can't. But we got to stop just only getting together when we're paying our respects and kind of loving on each other through, grief and that sort of stuff. But I'll be honest with you, I was maybe impressed is even the wrong word, but I was maybe comforted to see how well everybody is kind of handling this. Michael Skeeter is one of my heroes. He is one of the best men that I have ever known. And if you know Skeeter Robertson from Ellisville, Mississippi, then you know a great person. And raised three incredible sons, and I love them all so much. And it hurt. That's the thing that hurts so bad. It's like you think about your own loss, right? Even though I didn't see my Aunt Teresa that often anymore, I mean, life gets busy, But the people that have the more serious and the deeper loss, to see them, kind of handling things maybe better than you expected, I guess gives you a little bit of comfort. But that's what happens, when you lose somebody. It's not just your loss. It's the pain and empathy that you feel for the people that have the more immediate loss. And, you know, if you know my cousin Joe Michael, and if you live in Jones County, chances are you do. Let me brag on him a little bit, too. There was a time in his life he was the National Junior College Athlete of the Year. Yeah, not just in Mississippi, in the entire NJCAA. Yeah, incredible, incredible. And, of course, Chuck was the head coach at Taylorsville. He's the one that made the decision to make Ty Keyes the starting quarterback as a freshman, and then Ty rewarded him with a state championship. Yeah, and then, of course, Jonathan, obviously a great baseball player at Delta State. And so I'm not just a family member with the people in my family. I'm fans of my family. Like, I'm so proud of everything they've accomplished. You know, and those are the things, like, I get down there, and it's like, you know, you want your family to be proud of you, and it kind of goes without saying. It does. But it's like, you know, I see my cousin Ronnie, and I see, you know, some of my other cousins, and they introduce me, you know, and they say, oh, well, this is, oh, I didn't know you were connected to these Robertsons, and oh, well, this is our writer, you know, this is you know, our best-selling author, this our big Mississippi State guy, you know, and it means a lot. It truly means a lot to know that you have the respect and admiration of your family. And I'm so appreciative of that, so incredibly appreciative of that. And you know, if, when you don't go around very often and you get down there, you think, man, why don't I get down here more often? You know, why wouldn't I allow myself to be down here and just kind of be interacting with these people that that are proud of you and that love you? And so those are questions you got to ask yourself. And one of the things that I'm going to do, and some of you guys are going to think I'm crazy and I don't really care. Maybe you think that anyway. You know, I got 4.5 acres up here in Octobot County. And sometimes it's a lot to keep up with, especially as hard as Dan and I work. It's difficult at times, you know. We're never going to win any awards for better homes and gardens. It's not going to happen. But nevertheless, I made this decision, and you guys have heard me talk about this before. Like, I'm so incredibly grateful to be from an ag family. You know, I it's just the blue collar, the grit that goes along with that. You know, my dad learned how to work on that dairy farm on Augusta Road in Ellisville, and I learned how to work by watching him, you know. And there were times that he kind of told me what to do, too. But anyway, I just made this decision that, you know, I shared with you guys many times before, like the song Scarecrow from John Cougar Mellencamp always kind of gets to me. It does, because it reminds me of my heritage and reminds me of my family and the humble beginnings of our family. And, you know, Otis Robertson was my grandfather. I never had a chance to meet him. He passed away shortly before I was born. But I never got a chance to know him. But I've heard so many amazing stories about who he was and what he was and what he was capable of and all the great things he did. And one of the quick things I'll share with you guys too, and I wrote about this in When the Bottom Falls, is that my grandfather was instrumental in getting the one-room schoolhouse closed out there in Ellisville. And because like his sons, you know, they were the ones always going to chop wood and fetch water and that kind of stuff. And he didn't think they were getting a great education despite everybody's best efforts. But he went to the city and said, hey, can we get the kids here? And they goes, well, you know, basically they worked out a compromise. If they can get here, we'll let them go to school here. We can't afford to send a bus out there. My grandfather went and bought a bus. Yeah, he went and bought a bus, and he brought those kids to school for years. Even after his own kids had graduated, he continued to drive that school bus until eventually the superintendent said, well, Mr. Robertson, we'll just buy the bus from you and we'll bring the kids. You know, those are the kinds of things that make me happy, you know, to be a descendant from Otis Robertson. And I guess there's over 200 of us now, descendants of Otis Robertson. And so I mentioned that song, Scarecrow. There's a line in there that always gets to me. It always, always gets to me. Which I think about my grandpa, my neighbors, and my name. You know, that always, always stirs up pride in me about my family and where we're from. And so we're building a scarecrow, and we're going to put it out here in our field. And I've already contacted my cousin, Eddie Robertson. He owns the property that we used to own. We kept it in the family, but it was air property, and it's the farm that my dad worked on and the land that he, you know, he tilled and, you know, and the house that he grew up in. And I'm going to get some straw from our family farm, and I'm going to stuff that scarecrow, and we're going to call him Ellis in honor of Ellisville. And he's going to be here to guard our property. And I just feel like the spirit of Ellisville and the Free State of Jones is a big part of our lives. And it may not be a big deal to anybody else, but it's a big deal to me. So it's so funny. My daughter was talking about some big interview she's got coming up. She's at Harvard, if we're still bragging. Some big firm, her dream firm, is going to have dinner with her soon. And I thought, here she is interviewing one of the most prestigious law firms in the country, and I'm watching YouTube videos on how to build a scarecrow. Life brings some interesting curveballs to you. It does. So that's what we're doing, and I love my family. I know you guys love your family too, but times like these, love really helps a tremendous amount. It truly does, and I appreciate your love and support. Hey, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love them, man. We do. And we've loved them for a long time. And you know what? They have served our great community, not just through the Bulldog Burger Company franchise, but with the full Eat With Us group. And I like to recommend, a lot of people are thinking, Christmas is coming up. What do we do? How do we handle things? I guarantee you that you have a student or perhaps a faculty member or a stark villain in your life. Maybe consider getting an Eat With Us gift certificate. And let somebody have a night out on you. Isn't that a great thing? That's a great idea, Steve. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And you may have a young person up here that, may have, a date coming up. Maybe just a celebration. Maybe we're going to celebrate the end of finals. And let me just take all my friends out to eat at Bulldog Burger Company. It's great, man. It's such a great and thoughtful gift. I'm encouraging you to do that. Visit the eatwithus.com website, and you can find everything you need to get gift cards there. But treat yourself too, right? Roll into one of their three great locations, University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have the spring rolls as your appetizer. Find your own favorites. If you're a newbie to Bulldog Burger Company, let me recommend the Bulldog. You can't go wrong with the Bulldog. You can't. It's going to make you feel good about life. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer, make you and everybody around you better looking. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. And you know what? One more thing I forgot. I wanted to share this. I never expected to know this. Never in a million years. And before we get into our SEC Week in Preview, I shared some time ago about Miss Carolyn Norris, who was one of my teachers at Jones, and how she really challenged me. And there was a lot that was going on, and I was still kind of figuring out life. And I had an assignment one time that I basically, I think, wrote the morning of the day that it was due. Not that you've ever done that, right? But I did. I turned it in, and it was kind of a half-measured effort. It was still pretty good. I mean, I'm a wordsmith. I've always been pretty good at writing. Anyway, she called me on it, man. She did. And it was a life-changing moment for me. It was. Because, I always thought I had talent. But it's one of those things, too. Your high school teacher's got so much going on. There's so many papers to grade and so many students to deal with. And a lot of times the kids that are struggling are the ones that get most of the attention. And that's how it should be. But, Carolyn Norris didn't know me from anybody. I was just another student. And I had written a few things I thought were pretty good. And she agreed. But this particular assignment, I just kind of gave her a half-measured effort, and she held me after class, and she fussed at me. And if I remember correctly, she gave me an A- for grammar and an F for content, and then made me rewrite it and said, I will accept that from them. I will not accept this effort from you. She said, you have too much talent, and I'm not going to accept this from you. And I shared that story with you guys before. Well, guess what? I got to meet her grandson Wednesday in Ellisville, and his wife. And she goes, oh, you're the writer. And I was like, yeah. So we talked about it. She goes, you're the one with the podcast. And she said, and I get emotional thinking about this, that unfortunately, Miss Norris is not doing well health-wise. I was surprised, honestly, to know that she was still alive. I mean, and that's not disrespectful. I mean, it's just, I didn't know. But somebody, one of you, lovely listeners, somebody within our Boneyard family, when I recorded that, made sure that the family knew, and they got together and they played it for Miss Norris. That is so special to me. So I don't know who you were, but let me tell you, you've made an old guy very happy by doing that. I mean, you never know who's listening, but the fact that my words made their way to Miss Norris are incredibly impactful on me and very important to me, and I want to thank you for that. We may never meet, but I want to thank you for doing that for her more so than me. It's very special to me, and I can only begin to imagine what it meant to her. And now that she's kind of in failing health, it makes me feel good to know that she was cognizant at the time and healthy and happy and had an opportunity to know that one of her former students still remembered her and shared the impact that she had on my life. So thank you for doing that. Thank you very, very, very much. All right, let's jump into our SEC football preview. Great weekend, man. I'm excited. You know, we talked about how great it was during the open date. We got to see so many great games. I'm glad we're playing football again. But it's interesting, man, this schedule. It's kind of a turn or burn Saturday, right? There's some teams out there still kind of vying for a potential playoff spot. There are other teams out there just trying to get bowl eligible. There are other teams out there, of course, working through a coaching change. So everybody's motivation is a little bit different. So we're going to open up the day, 11 a.m., Ole Miss at Oklahoma. Now, I don't know if you guys realize this. Maybe you do. Maybe you're a very astute follower of college football, and maybe you're kind of a nerd like me where you want to know as much as you can. I got a show to do. I don't know what your excuse is, but I'm nosy. I want to know what's going on. And there's a lot of these things that just kind of jump off the page sometimes because, like, we're deep enough into the season now. You've got a big enough sample size to kind of know who's pretty good and to know who isn't. And that's the thing that jumps out to me when I look at this Oklahoma-Ole Miss game. I don't know how good Ole Miss is, but they're pretty good, right? I'm not going to sit here. I know some are, oh, they're trash. No, they're not trash. They're not trash. And I'll be honest with you. I think this may be Lane Kiffin's best coaching job. When you think, consider what they lost last year, and then there was all this hype and juice about, you know, Austin Simmons, and you know, the Ole Miss people do it to themselves. We don't have to do it. We can point at them and laugh, but we don't have to do it. And they change quarterbacks. He goes out and gets, you know, a D2 quarterback and basically kind of has him as a fringe Heisman campaign guy. He's not going to win by any stretch. Probably won't even get any votes. But he's at least getting some buzz. And you look at what Trinidad has done. It's pretty incredible. But, man, this Oklahoma defense is legit. Top defense in the country. Top scoring defense in the country. At home, trying to vie for a playoff opportunity just like Ole Miss is. And it's so difficult to win on the road in the Southeastern Conference. And I've, you know, watched with great interest this week. People said, you know, there's no way that Ole Miss is going to lay an egg on the road back-to-back weeks. I disagree. I don't think it's got as much to do with Ole Miss as it does the opponent. Oklahoma, offensively, has had some real challenges, especially with all the injuries to Mateer and things like that. You know, but he's back. And if they can protect the football, I think they're going to handle this game. I don't think it's a blowout. I think it'll be an entertaining game. But when you begin to look at what Oklahoma has in front of them, I don't know what's happening to ESPN today. Two straight things I try to pull up, and you sit there and spin and look at me like I'm not doing anything, like I'm not typing anything. But I am, and you can hear me doing it. But nevertheless, Oklahoma, I think, is in a position now. They may find themselves outside of the SEC title game. Maybe. They can still make it. But even if they don't, two-loss SEC team, they should make a playoff. And you got to wonder how many SEC teams are going to get in. And I think this is one of those games that could determine that.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Not only how many we get in, but who gets in. Ole Miss still ranked in the top 10. Now, I don't care what you think about them or what you say about them. When you look at the record, what they've done, and all those good things there, then yeah, I think you have to admit it, whether you want to or not. It's a good Ole Miss team. But having to go to Norman and play this defense, I don't know if you realize this, the most points allowed in a game by Oklahoma this year is 17. And 7 of those came after a near pick six. Like Auburn got set up, you know, first and goal basically after a long interception return. And so, yes, the defense gave that up. But, guys, in 4 of their games, they've allowed single-digit scoring or none. 5. Yeah, they beat Illinois State 35-3, Temple 42-3, Kent State 44-0. They lose to Texas. I was right the first time. I thought I was wrong, but I was mistaken. And then they beat South Carolina 26-7. So Texas puts up 23 points on them. I missed it. Okay. But outside of that, you kind of get the point that I'm trying to make here. It's difficult to score on this Oklahoma defense. Now, Lane Kiffin's done a great job in the time he's been there, especially like scripting out these first quarters, giving his team a chance to get an early lead. So that'll be something to watch. And Oklahoma is going to blitz and blitz and blitz and blitz. Sooners favored by 5.5. We're going to take the Sooners and the points, and we're going to feel good about life. One of the more intriguing games of the weekend involves two teams with losing records. That's Auburn at Arkansas. Now, you have seen in recent weeks what this Arkansas offense has done without Sam Pippen. And you kind of begin to wonder, you know, why wasn't Bobby putting up these points? Was Sam in the way? I don't know. But Razorbacks have lost 5 straight. It feels like a year ago that Sam Pittman got fired. You know, it was, 3 weeks ago? Almost 4, I guess. It was after that 56-13 debacle where the Irish could have put up 100 points. You have the open date. Petrino, chance to add some wrinkles. They score 31 against a very good Tennessee defense and then 42 points against an elite Texas A&M defense that had allowed basically nothing in SEC play. So you have to tip the cap to Petrino. You can say, you know what, they're still losing. But you know what, it feels like they're on the cusp of a win. I think they're going to get it this week. A lot going on over in Auburn, too. You know, Hugh Freeze was asked about, you know, would you like a vote of confidence from John Cohen? That stuff means nothing, okay? If I'm John Cohen, and I'm not, I'm probably a little offended by that. You know, it'd be great. I wish he would say it. I wish he would do it. You know, Hugh, why don't you go win a football game? How about that? That's your job. Your job is not to direct your boss to issue statements on your behalf. Your job is to go win football games. Now, granted, Auburn's been right there. They've just been unable to finish. But the reality of it is, it's tough to win on the SEC road. And, you know, Hugh and I have a interesting history. But the thing that I have learned over the years about the Hugh Freeze experience is Hugh tends to focus on the circus more so than the job at hand. He gets so caught up in all this other stuff. Focus on what matters most, coach. You know, that's – I'll just tell you, I don't think it's good leadership to get up there and just, you know, you kind of come off a little mealy mouth. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man, I really wish they would give me a vote of confidence. Well, why don't you give them something to be confident in? 4 straight losses, and again, they're all very close. 24-17 at Oklahoma, 16-10 at A&M. And then you have two big home games. You lose the game of Georgia. Yes, there was some controversy. True. And then you lose at home to Missouri by 6 in overtime. So Auburn's like right there. And I think they probably got a top 10 roster. But I think this could be a very difficult week. You got Bobby Petrino, a guy that's trying to get hired, coaching against Hugh Freeze, a coach is trying not to get fired. You know, who has the most motivation? I guess we'll see. I'm going to take Arkansas. 3.5 at home. Bobby's kind of got the crowd ignited again because they believe, hey, you know, we're close. We're close. And there are some people that want Bobby and some don't. Kind of an interesting side note, too. You know, I think it was Yellowhammer News, which is kind of weird, that they broke the story about Ken Williamson being suspended. Now, I have heard from people close to the situation that, yes, the numbers on that were correct, that there were 11 plays that were submitted for review and that 9 of them were incorrect. And that one of the two that they didn't really deem it correct. They just deemed it a judgment call. That's that fumble at the goal line, right? And then even in that, they criticized the crew for not letting the play out, for blowing it dead. This same crew was supposed to beat Arkansas last week when they played Texas A&M and had the assignment withdrawn. Now, I don't know Ken Williamson as a person. No clue whatsoever what he's like as a person. I'm sure he's got a lot of friends and family that people think the world of him. Don't know. My only experiences with him or when he misofficiates a football game. I know it's a thankless job. I know it's difficult. But when this guy continues to have so many problems and controversy seems to follow that crew, you have to make a decision. And it's taken too long. And for those of you that need a little backstory, it was Ken Williamson's crew in 2017 in the Alabama game when Calvin Ridley ran out of bounds, came back in bounds, and was basically guilty of illegal touching. And then Rob Skelton, the son of former Alabama quarterback Bobby Skelton, who was officiating that game. I got my thoughts about that. And right in front of me and Nemo, Skelton tells Williamson, I got a push out on the Alabama wide receiver. You kidding me? You threw your hat down. You saw it clean. How could you not see that, right? Wasn't a force out. And ultimately set Alabama up in first and goal. The next year, we go to Tuscaloosa. And yes, lo and behold, it's Ken Williamson's crew again. This time it's Jeff Batts that anticipates a block in the back call on Dedrick Thomas. And I was on the sideline shooting pictures and posted those pictures by sequence. And you can see yourself. Dedrick put his hands up and pulled back. Shaheem Carter was diving to make a tackle on Colin Hill. Shaheem Carter from Kentwood, Louisiana, a great player, great young man, went to a great program, and just can't make a tackle. Shaheem was in no way impeded from doing so. He wasn't blocked in the back. If anything, blocking him in the back would have helped him. But we didn't block in the back, and he comes up short. They take a touchdown off the board. So I bring up Ken Williamson's crew. Controversy always seems to find them. I'm glad to have some accountability. Now, one thing, too, a lot of people say the league doesn't care. You know, the league, to my knowledge, unless they did it this year, Jeff Batts has not officiated an SEC game since that. You think about, you know, the whole Morris Hodges situation at A&M a couple years ago where he goes and directly bumps into Hunter Hines trying to be tough, and you're not tough, Morris. You're not. You know, he misses a week. You know, so there is some accountability. The SEC doesn't comment on these things. Rarely. Mike Slive did it before when they suspended Mark Curl's crew, but it's a rare thing. I like transparency, and maybe it's difficult to keep officials employed if you air that transparency out there publicly. I don't know. But the reality of it is, I think this is a good thing for the SEC, and I got a lot of things I could say about Ken Williamson's crew. I got one more I'll share with you, too. They didn't want me to tell you this years ago, but I'm going to tell you now. I sent like 20 questions to the league, and I got an email back and eventually a phone call kind of off the record. But one of the questions I asked was about what's the league's policy on social media for officials. And then people around me started getting phone calls wanting to know what I had. And what I had was some inappropriate commentary. And one person in particular that had said something derogatory about Tennessee on social media. And then one particular official who took a picture in his black and white with his wife wearing Texas Aggie gear the same day that he officiated the Texas A&M Arkansas game. You can draw your own conclusions. But here's the thing, too. Even if there is no impropriety, you have to avoid the appearance of impropriety as an official. How stupid is that to be in your black and white and your wife is cheering for A&M and you take a picture together in your hotel room and you post it on social media? And yeah, that's another member of Ken Williamson's crew. And so I share those things with you because this is, it's not a big shock. And I've seen some of these young bucks. This is just unprecedented. It's never happened before. Yes, it has. Yes, it has. Get some days under your belt. Yes, it has. It's something we track. Like when we find out that there's a disciplinary issue or whatever, or there should be, we begin to see if that person, because we get the calls. I mean, it's like there's a list of that that's released. And you find out, you know, it's just like the official that blew the punt return dead after Martin Emerson downed it at Memphis. And then they let the play continue. And the guy that runs up waving it dead did not have the stones to tell the white hat, I blew it dead. And they let the play continue and it cost us a football game. It's the same stuff, man. But you know what? There was accountability there. You just don't read about that because the SEC doesn't make statements on it. So I'm defending the league in that respect because they have taken some steps to discipline officials. And had this report not made it out about Ken Williamson, I don't know how long it would have been before somebody figured it out. I don't remember anybody posting anything on social media on Sunday of last week that Ken Williamson's crew didn't have an SEC assignment last week. I mean, who has the time to look at all that stuff? But now it's out there. And again, I commend the league for making the step to protect the integrity of the game. Alabama and South Carolina. This is going to be an interesting one here, too. You know, South Carolina is so wild, man. We knew this South Carolina team, even though they had the preseason All-SEC quarterback, we knew that this is a team that was going to struggle to get wins. They're 3-4 now, but, man, these next three are brutal. All three currently ranked in the top 10. Alabama at Ole Miss, at A&M, and then you have Coastal for, I don't know what day that would be, I guess 22nd, and then you have Clemson. So we're in a scenario now. We talked last week that we felt like the Oklahoma game was probably a must-win for South Carolina if they hope to make a bowl game. I'd love to see them win in Oxford, but I don't expect it. I don't think they can win at A&M. And so you look at this one. By the time they get to these final two games in a non-conference, you're staring 3-7 right in the face and not making a bowl. And so we'll see how things play out. You know, Beamer's been one of those guys before that has pulled a rabbit out of the hat and beat some teams that he shouldn't. I just think the way that Ty Simpson's playing right now, and I don't know that Ty's getting enough credit for ball security. 18 touchdowns against one interception, and he'll probably in the first quarter throw for surpass the 2,000-yard mark. Ty Simpson is a bona fide Heisman candidate. And I think Alabama has kind of found their stride, and nobody's even talking about it. They lose that game to Florida State, and yeah, they're not really dominating opponents, but they're winning. And in most cases, winning by a couple scores. But I think that'll be the case this week. And then I think panic really starts to set in at Columbia. And as we shared earlier in the week, too, I mean, I don't think Shane's in danger of losing a job, but not a good year for South Carolina to be looking for a football coach with all of these bigger jobs. We'll see. I think it's a bad year for Ole Miss, too, to be looking for a football coach, if you know what I mean. Missouri at Vanderbilt, that is the 2:30 ESPN game. And a game that's got a ton of intrigue in it, right? I mean, you got two teams vying for the playoffs, and stop me if you expected that to happen. Who thought Missouri and Vanderbilt would be a marquee game? And you got tickets going for $200 plus. Vanderbilt, the home favorite at 3.5. This is one of those games, I really see it as a toss-up. But, and what's our general rule of thumb? In toss-up games, it typically favors the home team. Missouri, very good offensively at times. But, you know, they kind of stubbed their toe a little bit last week, even in the win. It wasn't a great offensive performance. And give Auburn's defense a lot of credit, too. That defense is really good at Auburn. But Vanderbilt at home, Pavia-mania, it's just tough for me to pull against them. If Vanderbilt can slow the run game down of Missouri, and Auburn did a good job with Hardy last week, I think Vandy could probably win this thing by two scores. But we're going to go with Vandy in the 3.5 and feel good about all that. And again, we'll talk more about Texas-Mississippi State later in the show. Texas A&M at LSU. Texas A&M ranked third in the country, 7-0, 4-0 in the SEC. And you feel like these are two programs moving in two different directions. At least it is to me. Mike Elko was probably the most obvious pick, and then it took A&M forever to kind of get around to him. And he's done a great job. And everybody's always kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop for A&M. But there's always that one in, you know, just unexpected loss that seems to kind of put them on the teeter-totter of adversity, I guess. And you got to go to Baton Rouge, to Tiger Stadium, another night game. Pretty ridiculous, another night game at LSU. So what we've seen from LSU offensively this year is rather anemic. I think we would all agree. It just doesn't make a lot of sense that LSU would ever be that bad on offense. Especially, you know, Brian Kelly, a guy that supposedly specializes in the run game, you know. And they're not getting it done. And I asked some people the other day, where were we? We were in Florida. Yeah, we were in Florida. And I was talking to some of our peers there. And we were just kind of talking about, you know, LSU and how, you know, we expected them to be good. And I didn't even know that they're good. They're just kind of above average. And some people thought they were really good. You know, I thought they were going to be better than a lot of other people did, but it just hasn't worked out. But it's just so interesting to kind of work through all of this. And you think about the identity of certain programs. Like, when is the last time you could not name LSU starting running back, just like on a moment's notice? LSU, 15th in this conference in rushing offense, averaging 112.86 yards a game. They have 7 rushing touchdowns this year. The only team worse than them running the football is South Carolina, who plays Alabama this week. You got to be able to run a football. You know, Mississippi State right there in the middle of the pack. We've been pretty good, pretty efficient at times running the football. Missouri, 245 yards a game. And some of that, a lot of that came in a non-conference. But LSU appears to have lost their identity. And so you begin to think about, you know, rush offense numbers. And then you begin to think about, you know, how great this A&M defense has proven to be at times. And again, they kind of an anomaly last week with Arkansas just kind of doing what they wanted to do. But A&M giving up about 126 yards a game, only 8 rushing touchdowns in 7 games. And the pass rush has been elite. And Garrett Nussmeier is not not quite 100%. I'm going to take A&M and the points to win in Baton Rouge. Now, Marcel Reed, of course, is going to go up against one of the most athletic secondaries he'll ever see. That could be interesting. 15 touchdowns against 4 picks, 1,770 yards for Reed this year. And again, he hadn't run the football quite as much. He may need to this week. I just don't think LSU could score. And that's the real thing. It's the real surprise, I think, is that, you know, you jump on these rushing numbers, but, you know, you got to put points on the board. And, you know, LSU loses to Ole Miss because of their inability to score. And give Ole Miss a little credit in the ball game, but it was really, you know, LSU's struggles on offense were well documented. And I just think back about Michael Cobble kind of getting chastised in that press conference by Brian Kelly. And you look back now and just about everything that Mike said was correct. You know, what's wrong with your offense? Nothing. Why can't you run the football? We can run the football. Didn't you see that last play that didn't matter when the game was already decided? You know, and that's me paraphrasing. But We'll take the Aggies. Could be a big win for LSU, but you start looking at this thing with LSU and you begin to kind of wonder, too. Are we beginning to see the early warning signs of a coaching change next year? They're not going to do anything this year. Do they do it next year? And then Tennessee at Kentucky. I don't know there's a lot to say about this game. I think Kentucky's done, and I think Kentucky's in a bad spot with that bad contract and that huge buyout for Stoops. Tennessee will look to bounce back from the Alabama loss last week. I think Tennessee's playoff hopes are hanging by a thread, but considering, you know, all the stuff with Nico leaving and all that kind of stuff, you know, at the end of spring practice, you bring Aguilar in, who has been really good, approaching 2,000 yards passing himself, 15 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. But when you look at this whole thing, the way it rolls out for Tennessee, the schedule's pretty manageable. You get this week against on the road at Kentucky, and, you know, we talk about how weird it is to go play at Kentucky at night. I just don't know how much juice is left in that fan base. I think they're all ready for basketball. We're 2 weeks away from basketball. I think they're ready for that. Then you get Oklahoma coming in. You know, that's a big game for hype. Then you get New Mexico State. You go to the Swamp, and you host Vanderbilt. There's a real possibility that Tennessee could win out. There's also a possibility they could drop 3 of these games. I don't expect that. I think probably worst-case scenario is 3-2. But it's there for the taking. I just don't know if they have quite enough to get there. So maybe they end up like 8-4. Going to a decent bowl game. And I think Kentucky is, you know, again, 2-4 in the SEC. And, you know, not a lot of hope around that program. Because, like, even in the games that they've been somewhat competitive in, they've done some things that were stupid. Like, I go back to that game against Texas last week. Kentucky gets down the field on their first drive, and I guess they go for it fourth and one or two from around the 25-yard line rather than kicking a field goal, and they get stopped. And you immediately take your own crowd out of the game. And then you get into overtime, and on fourth, you go for it, third and goal, don't get it. Go for it on fourth and goal, don't get it. Then Texas just has to kick field goal to win the game. You do things that prohibit wins, you lose. And so I give Texas credit for making the stops, but you're in overtime, you got to do what you can to prolong the game and give your defense a chance. It's dumb, man. It's dumb. But they've lost 4 of 5. 2-4, is that right? 2-4 on the year. And then you got Tennessee at Auburn, home against Florida, Tennessee Tech, at Vandy, at Louisville. This could be a 3-win team. Yeah, I don't think there's much question about that. They're not making a bowl game. It's not going to happen. And so you're going to be stuck with that. But that's your SEC preview and recapping, you know, the teams that we expect to win. I think Oklahoma wins and covers against Ole Miss. I think Arkansas wins and covers. I think Alabama wins and covers on the road. I think Vanderbilt wins and covers. I'm going to pick State, just so you guys know. Straight up, I think we're going to cover and we're going to win. And then I got A&M on the road winning and then Tennessee on the road winning. Those are my feelings about that. You know, we'll see how it shakes out. Good week last week for me in the jeanspage.com standing. I went 6-2, so we made up a little bit of ground. I guess I'm 2 games off the lead. Got to find a way to win that thing. Won it a couple years ago. Last year, Nathan Purvis won it, and I can't let that continue to happen. Time for our close with Blair, player of the day. Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Works at Priority One Mortgage, does an incredible job. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair, and they've given us rave reviews. Maybe you're in need of that too. Whether you're looking to refinance, buy a home for the first time, the next time, or perhaps the last time, Blair is the guy that can take care of you. 25 years of experience in this industry. It's a guy to get things done. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Save that number in your phone under Mortgage Guy. You'll be glad you did. You never know when you're going to need it. You're going to save yourself a lot of time and trouble later trying to do all this research and ask for references and things like that. Just save that number on your phone and hit up Blair. He knows when's the best time to buy, when's the best time to sell, when's the best time to refi? You don't stay in an industry that competitive this long by accident. Blair gets things done. That's the name, closewithblair.com. Visit the website, C-L-O-S-E with Blair, B-L-A-I-R.com, and you'll be glad you did. Whether you're looking for your first home, next home, retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo that could be more affordable than you think, get that pre-qualification letter too. That way your real estate agent knows what you are approved for. It makes the buying process so much easier. It truly does. So our player of the day, I'm going to go with Kyle Ferry. And here's why. Because number one, I think Kyle wants redemption. And not that maybe he needs it. I still think that field goal was in. I don't care what they say. I know that everybody else has got to go take the politically correct tone. I thought the field goal was in. I think the left side official just simply blew it. I mean, the guy on the right side is dependent on that guy to say if it got in. I think he blew it. I'm not saying it was malicious. I just think he blew it. I think he blew the call. And I think Kyle Ferry wanted the opportunity to win that game against Florida and didn't get it. I think Kyle Ferry has a good ball game for Mississippi State. And I think we're going to need him to have a good ball game. I think it is a very low-scoring game that is tightly contested. And field goals may prove to be the difference. And their guy, Shipley, is outstanding. I think Ferry can match him. And ultimately, how cool would it be? You know, hopefully, we don't have to kick a last-second field goal to win it. But if we do, I've got faith that Kyle can make that for us, just as I had faith that he would make it last week against Florida. But how cool would it be for our fans to be rewarded with another top 25 win, our first SEC win since October of 23, and also get us one step closer to bowl eligibility? So, yes, I'm going to pick Kyle Ferry as our Close at Blair player of the day, and I hope he gets the opportunity to I hope he's mainly extra points and kickoffs. Yeah, would love that. I'd love to be able to just get out in front, be able to enjoy the game. I just think they're so good defensively, it's going to be difficult to do that. But with our ability to punt the football and our ability to kick off, I think special teams could be a big part of this ball game, and I think we have an opportunity to do some good things. All right, time for today's top 10 list, brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. We've talked about it many times. We're starting to get some references, some testimonials from some of you that have made some purchases and talking about how easy they make it, and that you get them on the phone and they feel like your friends. Then that's who they are. Calido Guitars are just friends you hadn't met yet. And if you're a guitar player, or you know a guitar player, or you want to be a guitar player, the only name to know is CalidoGuitars.com. It's your guitar shop. It is. Based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. Next time you're in the area, go by and see their expansive showroom, and you can meet them in person, and you can see the selection that's available to you, right? You can ride home with a guitar. They'll even set it up for you right there. Expertise, I mean, the level of expertise with these folks is just unsurpassed. It's not what you'd expect, right, from, well, it's an independent guitar shop. I mean, how good could it be? It's great. Yeah, it's great. And I think maybe that's one of the benefits of this, is they don't have some big, huge conglomerate with all these policies and all this red tape. You're basically dealing with a mom and pop shop that care about you, care about your ability as a guitar player, care about your gear, care about your life, care about your team. It makes it easy to do business with them. Great service before, during, and after a sale. How many times have you done it? You buy something online, you can't get anybody on the phone. Yeah. So Calido Guitars is your way to go, whether you're looking for guitar cases, gig bags, a new rig, whether it be accessories, strings, anything you need, let's throw some business their way. Because number one, they're going to do it better than anybody else, but they're Bulldogs, right? We need to support each other. Christmas is coming up. I guarantee you there's a guitar player in your family that would love a new case or love a new guitar. Whether you're a beginner or an expert, they've got everything you need acoustically, classically, electronically. Get that electronic guitar, right? I'm kidding. It's an electric guitar. But wouldn't it be cool if it was? But nevertheless, you can start, a couple $100, or you can spend up into the thousands. That just kind of shows you the commitment these folks have made to being the elite guitar shop. Visit them at CalidoGuitars.com. Use promo code BSR. You know that well. That entitles you to a 10% discount. Also gets you no shipping, no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas, and then a 5% donation made to the Bulldog X Once Fund based on your purchase price. What great incentive to do business with them. Check them out today, ColitoGuitars.com. Okay, we had a suggestion, and we had to bump some things around. I'm looking here. I've got to find Roy and I were texting earlier today. Roy and I will be in the queue next week when tickets go on sale for Iron Maiden Megadeth. And we're going to make a trip, but I'm not going to tell you which one, but we're looking at a couple different dates. Be midweek because I can't interfere with football coverage. But yeah, we're planning to go see Iron Maiden Megadeth. So, but we had a suggestion. And we put it together here. In honor of homecoming, Nancy Calicostera had a thought for this week. How about rock songs with home in them since it's homecoming weekend? Well, Nancy, great idea. Appreciate your support. So this is your time to shine. And she sent us some lists in the past, too. We have some regulars that send some things to us, and Nancy's one of them. So here are your top 10, quote, homecoming songs. And we got to jam a little bit, too. We got a lot to cover. Number 10, it's Bon Jovi's Who Says You Can't Go Home. And there were a few other harder songs I didn't mix in, but I wanted to work that one in. I've always liked that song. And I guess after the sentimental trip down to Ellisville this week, it just kind of scratches me where I itch. Bon Jovi's Who Says You Can't Go Home. Number 9, completely different. It's Welcome Home Sanitarium from Metallica, your number 9 track. Number 8, another band that I love, and I love the Long Cold Winter album. A lot of you guys are Night Songs people, and I love Night Songs albums too, but I think the best album from Cinderella is Long Cold Winter. I think it's more of who they are rather than maybe writing for a record deal. And there's some great songs on Night Songs, don't get me wrong, but Coming Home is a great track. And if you've met Tom Kiefer, even though he's married to an Ole Miss girl, he's a great dude, and an incredible performer. I'm so glad he got his career back. You know, he had some health problems. Number 7, this was more of a top 40 song from a guy that kind of worked in rock. You know him well. It's Phil Collins, Take Me Home. Number 6, you go back to that groundbreaking debut album from Daughtry, from Chris Daughtry. And again, Chris still out doing some good things, still making some good music. There's a lot of these American Idol contestants that kind of are flashes in the pan. There's not for every Carrie Underwood, there's just, you know, there's what Constantine Maroulis or whatever his name is. You know, there's always that. And some of these people that even get the record deals that win the show don't have any staying power. But Chris Daughtry has, and we're going to go back to Home, which is a very, very sentimental song. Matter of fact, Ani and my kids, when Dana and I had the renewal service years ago, they performed that song. Number 5, one that I think sometimes gets lost in the shuffle when we think about great songs, House of Lords covered it. Of course, House of Lords with Mississippi's own Greg Jafria is a part of that band, covered the Blind Faith classic, Can't Find My Way Home. Great song, man. It's great. And I like the House of Lords version, too. But I go back to the original, Blind Faith, obviously, a band that did not have a ton of commercial success, but wrote a classic song there. Number 4, even though we live in Mississippi, anytime we can praise Ronnie Van Zant, the boys from Skynyrd, you have to. So we worked in Sweet Home Alabama is number 4. Some of you will stay in the great state of Alabama and then drive your way in for this weekend. But we'll shout out Skynyrd every time we can. Number 3, Roy, I wouldn't say Roy insisted upon this one, but I'm going to read you our dialogue. He sends me a list of like 3. I guess it was, we had a couple. But anyway, I said, hey man, not sure about John Denver. He goes, that's a classic song. Who can stop themselves from singing that song when it hits the airwaves? And maybe he's true. I like Country Roads too, but the whole West Virginia Mountain Mama, that's not us. But Country Roads do take us home, and took me home to Ellisville, brought me back home to Starkville. So John Denver's Take Me Home, Country Roads, number 3 on your list. Not necessarily a rock song, but nevertheless, I relented. We could go a lot of different ways, man, with Yeah, we're number two and number one. We could. But instead, we're going to go with the Pet Shop. No, it's not the Pet Shop Boys. It's not. And I thought about making this number one, but I thought, you know what? I don't want to get wrapped up in sentimentality here and have kind of a recency bias. But number two is Ozzy's Mama, I'm Coming Home. And again, I remember we talked about this for the last show, like seeing all those kids crying, singing that song, and we knew that that was it. We knew it. We maybe couldn't bring ourselves to accept it, but we knew in our hearts when Ozzy and that crowd was singing along, we knew he was telling us goodbye. We just didn't know when. But it's a special moment in music. It certainly is. And if you have a chance to call that up on YouTube or whatever, you should watch that. And everybody was very emotional, all of us. So Ozzy's Mama, I'm Coming Home, number two. Number one, and Nancy suggested this. She said, just so happens that Motley has a perfect one. And you're right. And it's one of the greatest songs, I think, written from that genre during that era. You know, it really, in many respects, I think really pushed the power ballad into a level of acceptability in the heavy metal community at the time. And now what we call heavy metal is completely different. But we called it metal and hard rock and that kind of stuff. But it's off the Theater of Pain album. It's Home Sweet Home. As a matter of fact, last night, the Ridgeland High School Marching Band played Home Sweet Home as part of Senior Night. And I commend you, and I tip the cap to your band directors, and for all those young people that did such a great rendition. Super cool, man. And so, I'm a dreamer, but my heart's of gold. I had to run away high so I could come home low. But anyway, that's Dolly Parton, of course, recently did a duet with them and sang a different part to the song. So you can listen to the Motley and Dolly Parton version. We're going to go with the original on our list today. But there you go. Top 10 songs for homecoming. And there's a lot of songs out there about home. There's a bunch, right? A bunch. But I think you guys will enjoy this list. And kind of covers a lot, but you know all these songs. You don't have to go do any research. Say, what is he talking about? Who is this band? Are they devil worshipers? There's none of that stuff, right? You don't have to listen. Where do they stand politically? There's none of that. These are just great songs that you know and you love. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, just like Nancy did, hit Roy up on X at Dogmatic67. You can find our great list under that same handle on Spotify. We make it easy for you. And you can find me on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Because they have the things we want. We can't get enough Mississippi State merch, right? If you found out that everybody in your family bought you Mississippi State merch this year, you would think that was a great Christmas. It's true. You know it. Mom, don't overthink it. Dad wants that new quarter zip. Get him one with the M over S. Get him one with the interlocking MSU. Maybe get him one with the state script, right? The reality of it is there's so many great things to choose from at Campus Bookmart. You're going to have a tough time deciding. Just buy it all. Yeah, just do it. And you know what, Dad? Mom wants some more Mississippi State stuff, too. Maybe some things for around the house. You can find all that at Campus Bookmart. And with graduation coming up, consider a diploma frame for the graduate in your life or the upcoming graduate. What a very, very thoughtful gift. Be the preferred aunt, uncle, grandparent, or even parent. By taking care of that. Because some gifts are just from us, right? Next time you're in town, go by and visit Campus Bookmart. You'll be glad you did. Go by and see their smiling faces. You may even get a courtesy hug. Maybe. Maybe it's just me, though. Maybe it's just me. I don't think it is, but maybe it is. But if you can't make it to town, and perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, visit them on the World Wide Web, courtesy of Al Gore's internet at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays. That is BSR, which gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Well, it looks like Brian O'Connor's got everybody running scared. And we've joked about that in recent days. But Tony Vitello from Tennessee accepts the head coaching job with San Francisco. I initially thought that was not a real thing. I'm not going to lie about it. I thought, you know, there's no way. There's no way. And that's not a criticism of Tony. I just thought, you know, we've never seen a guy raised from the college ranks directly to the big leagues. We've had some that have taken some, you know, assistant coaching jobs or perhaps some minor league coaching jobs. But to have a coach go directly from college to MLB, it's the first time it's happened. And Tony may be the perfect guy to do it. And I've talked to some people that know Tony much better than you and I do. And they were like, hey, Tony, it's been every one of our dreams to make the bigs. And you're going to have the opportunity to do that. It's kind of a no-brainer in that respect. And you'll always have the opportunity to come back. And that's the big thing, too. Like, if Tony Vitello got fired with the Giants in 3 years, he could get a college coaching job immediately. He can always come back, whether that's to Tennessee or to Texas. I've heard that's always been a dream job of his. Maybe Schlossnagel, a few years, decides to hang him up. You know, so Tony can always come back and be a very highly courted coaching candidate in college. So there's really no downside for Tony. I live my life thinking I'd rather fail than not know. I'd rather have the opportunity. I'd rather try to compete at the highest level than to never know. I don't want to live my life thinking, you know, what if I had tried that? And so I commend Tony Vitello for doing that. Now, as how it relates to us, I think it's a good thing. I mean, you begin to look around this league, right? It's LSU. It's Arkansas. Tennessee. Have those been the most consistent teams the last few years? Probably so. And so, even though they've promoted Frank to be the head coach, I don't know why you don't give it to Josh. And I've asked that of other people in college baseball. Got a lot of friends in college baseball media. And I was like, you know, Ellender has been like on the hot board of a lot of people, including ours. You know, it's like, hey, he's an assistant coach, but somebody's going to give him a gig. State didn't want to go the first-time coaching route, and thank God for that. But why not give Ellender the on-the-field audition? Because there's no downside in that, right? You're not going to have the magic man anymore. TV's not there. I know that Frank has been a head coach before, but even if he's there as the co-head coach or associate head coach and the pitching coach, he can still help run the show. But if you give it to Ellender, and then all of a sudden, the team doesn't take a step back or they're comparable success-wise to what they have been, you can say, you know what, hey, it wasn't all Tony. And it hasn't been all Tony, but it's been mostly Tony. I think anybody close to that program will tell you, you know, the attention to detail, the passion, that's all Tony. Now, Josh is an A1 recruiter, but he also has had the benefit of, you know, working for perhaps the most intriguing guy in college baseball, and Tony Vitello. So Tony's always a drawing card. But Josh Ellender is going to be a head coach somewhere. Could be Tennessee. So if you don't give it to him, do you run the risk of losing him anyway? And that's the thing you begin to consider. This staff won an AFL championship at a place that really didn't have a ton of baseball tradition. You want to keep those guys together as best you can. You don't want to lose Tony and the staff and then bring somebody else back. And you don't want that program dipping off into the abyss. And so it's interesting. I think, obviously, Tennessee coming here is a big thing. I was excited about playing Tony. But I like to beat people at their best. I'm not a person that wants to win because the other team loses. I want to beat them. I want them to walk away, even if they don't say it in a press conference, I want them to walk away knowing that we were the better team. Or I was the better competitor, right? I don't want there to be any doubt. And so that's a program that's going to be in transition. You know, we'll see what they do. They struck, you know, lightning in a bottle when they got Tony Vitello. Nobody knew that Tony was going to be what he ultimately became. A lot of people expected Tony to be an excellent head coach. I think he proved to exceed those expectations. Then you've got all this news out of Florida with Kevin O'Sullivan. Yes, he'll be around next year. But apparently there's some things going on in his personal life. And listen, we wish the best for all involved in that stuff, right? I mean, obviously there's some baggage out there. associated with Kevin O'Sullivan's name. As you guys are well aware, I'm not going to get into all the details. You can Google it. But there's a lot of things out there. You know, and Sully is a guy, too. It's a fiery competitor. You know, he got, I guess, reprimanded last year for his behavior of the NCAA rep on site at the NCAA regional. And there's always some things kind of around that, too. But, you know, most fiery competitors are not necessarily just nice guys all the time. And what's ironic about that is if you met Tony Vitello on the street, or you bumped into Tony Vitello at a restaurant, and he's outside of the field of play, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. True story. Absolutely great guy. Fun to talk to. And he wants to know as much about you as you want to know about him. Super, super personality. As I shared with you guys a couple years ago after the SEC tournament, had a chance to visit with him about some of our mutual friends. And he goes, "Steve, will you do me a favor?" I said, "Coach, anything." He goes, "Will you please let the Mississippi State fans know that I don't want every one of our games between our two programs to turn into a hockey fight?" And I said, "Coach, I will, but, you know, you're kind of part of that." And he just laughed. He's a great guy, but he's also a guy, once he crosses those lines, there's a switch that gets flipped. And it's like that for a lot of people. Sully's kind of like that, too. And I'll never forget him gator chomping our dugout and gator chomping John Cohen, you know, in the Super Regional that we played in Gainesville. You know, sometimes emotions get the better of you, you know, especially, you know, John Cohen's a very, very intense competitor as well. And so when you feel like you've gotten the better of somebody that is maybe equal or perhaps even better as you as a coach, sometimes it's difficult not to say anything. But I think no matter what's going on with Kevin O'Sullivan, and again, we wish the best for all involved. We don't wish any personal turmoil on those people over college athletics. We just don't, you know. But there's clearly an issue. Now, what that issue is, we don't know, and we don't need to know, right? The bottom line is he's taking a leave of absence. They do expect him back. He's got some things that he needs to deal with. And again, we hope for a good result there, but there is a distraction. And that's one of those things too. You know, the collective, as I've learned in my years of sports, especially as a high school baseball coach, the most fragile thing that I've ever known is the collective baseball psyche of a team. You know, it's like everything is going great and then somebody drops a pop fly and then like 10 runs score. You know what I mean? It's like everybody, once that happens, because every pitch you're engaged emotionally in every pitch, and you don't get the results you want, sometimes it's difficult to get guys back. These guys at this level, it's a little different, but there's still some of that that exists. And now, right now, all those players, and we don't know what they know, but they're thinking, hey, you know, what's happening with my head coach? You know, what's happening with our workouts? Is Sully going to be here? I mean, they chose Florida for a reason, and that was to play for Kevin O'Sullivan. And now you begin to kind of consider what that could mean to the psyche of that baseball program. So interesting. Sticking with Florida, who is going to get the Florida football head coaching job? I mean, a lot of people out there forecasting Lane Kiffin or Eli Drinkwitz. I think either of those guys would do well. It wasn't too long ago, Lane Kiffin said he grew up wanting to be Steve Spurrier. One of the reasons he wears the visor. I think that's a great fit. I don't know if they can pull it off, but I think Scott Strickland is probably in a position where he has to make a splash higher. And I don't know if there's a lot of splashes out there. And Eli Drinkwitz, even though he's done some great things at Missouri, and he is kind of interesting in press conferences, does that move the needle at Florida? I think with real football people, it would. But, you know, Lane Kiffin, obviously, when you look at the job he's done at Ole Miss, and I think people forget how bad they were before Kiffin got there. I think even Ole Miss people have forgotten how bad they were before Lane Kiffin got there. It was not great, and it was a very difficult stretch for a long time. But there's some Ole Miss people out there to get on your nerves. I know it's most of them. But they're acting like they're propping up Lane Kiffin. No, it's the other way around. You made a great hire, proved to do a better job than most people expected, and I would say even many Ole Miss folks probably would say he's exceeded expectations there. I don't know that anybody that's objective could argue against that. You know, last year, obviously, they were in a position to make the playoffs, and they were kind of built to make the playoffs, but they didn't make the playoffs. They're in a position now to make the playoffs. But, you know, let's just kind of go back and look here. Let's see how far we want to go back. I don't know, turn of the century maybe. David Cutcliffe, of course, was hired in 99 and goes 7-5, 7-4, 7-6. And then in 2003, they put it all together and go 10-3. And no, they did not win the SEC West Championship. They have never seen their school's name in Atlanta in the end zone in an SEC title game. I don't care what they say or how they dress it up or, oh, us too. No, not you two. Then Cutcliffe goes 4-7. Ed Orgeron comes in. Three terrible years. 3-8, 4-8, 3-9. They win three SEC games in 3 years. And the final year, they go 0-8. Well, Houstonot shows up and kind of takes advantage of a lot of the talent that Ed Orgeron accumulated in Oxford. Obviously, Houstonot was a good football coach. Ed Orgeron was a great recruiter. Back-to-back Cotton Bowl wins in 0-8 and 2009. And then, as Ed Orgeron's talent began to cycle out, and I try to tell people even back then as a recruiting analyst that they weren't recruiting at a high level, well, it comes back to roost. 4-8, 2-10. Well, then they hire Hugh Freeze. And in 2012, they needed to beat us to get bowl eligibility. They did. They rushed the field. They forget that, but they did. And then they win the Compass Bowl and finish with a winning record. Then it's 8-5, 9-4. They beat Alabama. Between 14 and 15, they go 10-3, win the Sugar Bowl. The ill-gotten gains of some NCAA violations and some very creative recruiting practices. 2016, things kind of fell apart in more ways than one. And yes, you're welcome. They go 5-7, 2-6. They keep Matt Luke. And you know, everybody was like, oh, no, they've got to keep Matt Luke. And, of course, they were, you know, had a bowl ban in 17 and 18. And I remember so many experts. I kept telling everybody, they're getting a bowl ban, probably two. Well, that's exactly what they got. They got a two-year bowl ban. And it worked out to be basically a four-year stretch with no bowl games. 5-7 and 16. That's the interim year with Matt Luke, I guess. And then 17, they go 6-6, 5-7, and then 4-8. And then, of course, year one under Kiffin, they wouldn't play A&M. They wouldn't play them, so they ended up 5-5 with the win in the Outback Bowl. But they went 4-5 in a regular season. And so you go back, it's five consecutive years, non-winning seasons. It's true. And then things changed. You know, Lane Kiffin goes 10-3 in 21, 8-5 in 22. A little bit of a step back, but not a huge step back. And then in 2023, 11-2 and 10-3 last year. And so three double-digit win seasons and then 11 wins in a year. Even the most loyal Mississippi State fan has to say, you know what? As much as I don't like them and maybe perhaps I don't like him, and I would like for him to be somewhere else so I could like him, he's done a good job. And it's disingenuous to suggest otherwise. And so when you begin to think about that history, I don't mean the made-up history, but the actual on-the-field history, and to see what Lane Kiffin did at Ole Miss, you begin to think, okay, has he taken this program as far as he can take them? I think there's some arguments that that's the case. And you look, and listen, these Ole Miss people out here, and of course they do it to themselves, we talk about it all the time, anybody that thinks Florida is on par with Ole Miss, you're kidding themselves. The Florida job is much better. You have a closer proximity to elite talent in-state, in the state of Georgia. You can recruit nationally, legitimately recruit nationally. You got an athletic budget. It's about $70 million more than Ole Miss. It's true. You may not like it, Ole Miss fans, but it's true. Florida is a better job. And if Lane Kiffin leaves to go to Florida, it's not going to be because he's unhappy at Oxford or unhappy with Ole Miss. He's done some great things there. It's just that Florida is a better job. I'm not sure he's going to take the job or if he'll even be offered a job. But a lot of this commentary out there is just nonsensical. Florida is a better job than Ole Miss, period. And anybody who suggests otherwise is not being honest with themselves. So that'll be interesting to kind of see because, you know, I think about, like, what happens at Auburn if John Cohen has to pull the trigger or elects to pull the trigger and fire Hugh Freeze? Do they go get James Franklin? That's an intriguing idea, right? James Franklin probably shouldn't have been fired at Penn State. I think that's an easy sell. No matter who, I don't know that Scott Strickland can do that, but I bet John Cohen could do that. I think James Franklin would be a great fit at Auburn. Makes a lot of sense. Brett Key makes a lot of sense at Auburn. Doing a great job at Georgia Tech. At a place that's kind of difficult to win. And so, you know, you begin to wonder now, like, does Clark Lee at Vanderbilt get a job somewhere else? I know he's a Vanderbilt guy, and they're doing some great things there. Does Penn State go chase Clark Lee? I don't know. You know, we'll see. But it's going to be a wild, wild, wild circus. And, again, we want to avoid that at all costs. So we need, you know, obviously we don't want to make a change. We're making progress. We need Jeff Levy to go in a couple more games. And wouldn't it be great, win a couple more, one of them's the Egg Bowl, then go win a bowl game. You get a couple trophies to go showcase on your recruiting visits and things like that. That sells you some season tickets. And again, as I've shared before, Levy next year would be in year three, and some of his contemporaries would be in year one. And so I think it gives us the opportunity to kind of make up some ground. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Be sure and check out the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. You owe it to yourself. Rather than have everybody come up here and meet and be scattered all over Oktibbeha County in five different Airbnbs and hotel rooms, you can have everybody under one roof. And it's those in-between moments that make it all worthwhile, right? We've stayed there, had a great time. The fun stuff is not just the meals you prepare or the movies you watch. It's just simply being together. Whether it's a ball game weekend or perhaps a midweek trip to Starkville to take in some basketball, it's worth your time and trouble to get everybody together. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. Plenty of parking there. That's one of the challenges when you get a large group together. There's not always enough parking. And then you worry about your vehicle. Well, you don't have to worry about it there. It's the old renovated country club out past the Highlands off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Ample parking there. The full service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area. Six bedrooms, two, soon to be three baths. But the best part about it is, it's number one, it's a beautiful facility. The amenities are incredible. But also, too, just being together. There are not many places you can get a big group together under one roof. And it's worth your time and effort. You'll have a great time there. Be sure and check it out, the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, when you Google, some booking options are going to pop up, too. You're going to have Airbnb, VRBO, and you're also going to have the Evolve website. Pick the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR10. That gets you 10% off your stay. So we're giving you a discount at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle. Again, that's the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Real quickly, there has been a notification from Mississippi State. Next weekend's exhibition against Louisiana Tech will now begin at noon. So if you're making plans to attend, noon. Get here earlier. Wives, I'm talking to you. Girlfriends, talking to you. You know how he gets. Make sure that you do your part to be ready to go lay out your clothes and all your makeup the night before. That way you guys can leave maybe a little bit early, because there's going to be a rush for parking and all that good stuff, and there's going to be a lot of people in Starkville coming for that exhibition. And so give yourself plenty of time. Be sure and check that out. Again, the Louisiana Tech exhibition baseball game at Duty Noble Field next Saturday, noon. All right. As I've mentioned, I expect Mississippi State to win the ball game against Texas. There are a few things that I wanted to share with you guys, but you know, as we kind of, you know, say goodbye for the week, and we'll kind of move forward from that. But it's also interesting to me when you begin to think about what differences there are between these two teams. really not a lot, other than State's been better offensively and they've been better defensively. And I think in games like that, special teams mean so much. I mentioned earlier, I think Ethan Pulliam can have a big game. We need him to have a big game, but we need to be smart about that too. Now, what I mean by that is that Texas has one of the best returners in the country, one of the most talented punt returners in the country, and he has shown that in recent weeks. In fact, they don't win the game against Kentucky without him because they were so anemic. Ryan Niblett is his name. 12 returns, averaging 25 yards a return. He had a 75-yard house call against Oklahoma that had two punt returns last week that exceeded 40 yards. So kicking away from him, maybe even kicking a ball out of bounds, is big. Directional kicking, and I think if you got to bring in Tice, you got to be smart about that. You know, get a lot of hang time, give yourself a chance to cover that punt. Ethan Pulliam is a guy with a big leg and at times could outkick the coverage. And when you've got Ryan Niblett, who's kind of finally found his way at Texas, you don't want him to give Arch Manning and the Texas offense a short field. As we discussed earlier this week, C.J. Baxter, a guy that was a co-starter at running back, is expected to play. Going to be situational, probably in short yardage type situations, but he'll dress. And he'll be there. And Steve Sarkisian said earlier this week, it's probably not a 20-carry game, probably about half of that. So that's something we'll have to consider too. And Bulldog coaches are aware. You know, I mean, it's not like it's some big surprise with the SEC availability report these days. There's not a lot hidden. But, you know, he hadn't scored a touchdown yet, but he is a very talented back. So that's just kind of something else that we begin to kind of, you know, consider as we formulate a plan. You know, they're going to run a lot of outside zone, and I suspect they're going to get some yards, but they have had a difficult time kind of getting the running game going. Even when Baxter was a part of things, he hadn't done a whole lot. But the reality of it is, this is a very talented team, and I would say on par, obviously, you know, with Texas and Tennessee, something about those T's, right? But and maybe even A&M. Talented team. One of the top recruiters in the country on an annual basis. So we're going to have to go out there and play well and probably play our best game of the year. And even against Arizona State, I don't think we played our best game of the year, even though we got a victory there. I think that's an important aspect of this thing, too. There is more in the tank. Now, we need to get a good start. And that's been a real challenge for Texas, too. They have not been able to kind of get out of the gate offensively. I'm just going to run a couple things down for you, and then we'll do a few other things, and we'll get out of here, and we'll tell each other we love each other and have a great weekend, and then we'll celebrate beating Texas. You go back to the Ohio State game, right? Texas did not score in this game until the third quarter. Yeah, they put together a nine-play, 33-yard drive on their first possession, and then turned it over on downs. And then it was four consecutive punts. And then in the third quarter, just trying to get something going, they went for it and turned it over on downs again. So, you know, it's just interesting. They didn't score to the fourth quarter. Yeah, so they put together, you know, what is this, 8 drives before they scored. And, of course, they lose that game to Ohio State. San Jose State. Similar situation. First drive, four plays, they lose 4 yards. They punt the first two drives and then kind of got it going after that. But again, slow out of the gate. Against UTEP, first drive, turn it over on downs. They score on the second drive with a touchdown, and then it's an interception, turnover on downs, punt, punt, punt. Yeah, it's a good second half. But they're very slow starting in the first half. To kind of illustrate that, the only time they scored on the first drive this year was against Sam Houston State, and that's a game they won 55-0. And they scored on, what, their first nine drives, punted the last two in the fourth quarter. But that's the only drive this year they've scored early. Against Florida, similar situation. Texas gives up two scores defensively those first two drives. Texas offense punts. They score once in the second quarter and then don't score again until the second half and ultimately lose that ball game. Against Oklahoma, first drive, four plays, Nets negative 1 yards. They punt the first two drives, miss a field goal, and then kick a field goal right before the half. So there's 3 points there in the first half. Kind of got some things going in the second half, so they're making some good adjustments, but again, not strong out of the gate. Against Kentucky, again, they had 8 first downs and 172 yards of total offense. Those punt returns help. 3 straight punts to open the game. They score in the second, and then it's punt, halftime, punt, field goal, punt, 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 field goal. And then, of course, they kick the field goal in overtime. So in 7 games, they have scored on the opening drive just once. So we have to make that continue, and we have to get out of the gate because the teams that have beaten them have been able to get an early lead and also been able to stop the run. Just some notes we pick up, things that I think are important. And, of course, State's done a really good job scoring on opening drives this year. That needs to continue. We need to get the crowd ignited. We need our fans to stay engaged. And we need to make sure that they're chasing us and we're not chasing the game. If you hadn't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com. You get signed copies of all of my sports titles there, plus the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Of course, that's Flim Flam, which is a great gift for your smart aleck Ole Miss brother-in-law for Christmas. Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, and every Bulldog needs a copy of that. And, of course, the latest one, The Dude, that came out last October. And you can get When the Bottom Falls, and that's the book I get the most questions about. And messages from all over the country, and I'm very grateful for that. It's a story about recovery. It's a memoir, basically. So if you want to know more about me and kind of where I've come from, what I've lived through, that's a great book for you. Maybe a great gift for a great reader in your life or somebody in recovery that needs to be in recovery. I think it's a book of inspiration. I was very transparent when I wrote that book coming on 3 years ago now. Come join us over at jeanspage.com. You can get 30% off the annual subscription price, or you can bypass that promo code and you can get jeanspage.com for the full price. But in addition to that, by being a full paying member, you get access to the Paramount Plus streaming platform. Of course, you know, some people some time ago said, oh, that's going away. No, it's not. It's not going away. And it's been a great thing. You can check out Tulsa King. And, of course, next month, second season of Landman comes out. And that'll be exciting, too. Billy Bob Thornton, Ali Larder, and Demi Moore back in our lives. Should be a fun time. For sure. And come float with us at True West Float Spa of Starkville. I'll be running a spa Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday as the bride takes a few days to go and visit with the grandkids. And you never know. I may give away some free floats. You never know. I hadn't told her yet, but I may do that. I may just say, you know what? I'm going to give away 2 free floats today. Anybody wants to come try it out, you can come today. So it'll be a day of type thing. Just be mindful of my social media. Right, I'll just say next person that calls gets a free flow, that kind of stuff. But yeah, but here's the thing: floating has changed my life, and I don't just mean from a business standpoint. The main reason that I wanted to bring this to Starkville was because number one, it's a very unique business, it's a very unique experience. But I wanted to bring the benefits of floating to my friends and neighbors. It's nothing has done more for my anxiety than this. Than floating. I need to go float now. I got a few little aches and pains and all this time on the road. I need to go float, and I'll hopefully have a chance to get in there this weekend at some point. But yeah, it's a great experience. You can dial 662-268-7601 and have the opportunity to speak to Dana. She can answer any of your questions. She's a registered nurse, so she knows a lot about the medical field that I don't. But here's what I do know. When I go float, I feel better. The quality of my sleep is better for days, right? So if you've got chronic pain or anxiety, or maybe you just need a break or want to try something different, we have a lot of student athletes that come for their own physical and mental recovery. You have access to that. It's the only true float spa in Mississippi, right here in Starkville. They wanted me to put it somewhere else. I was like, nope, I live in Starkville. This is not an investment for me. This is a labor of love for us, and so we'd love for you to come float. Of course, there'll be some Christmas specials coming up. And even if you don't think floating would be for you, I think it is, but you may disagree. You can come by and take a tour, and you can see it for yourself. A lot of people worry about claustrophobia. These pods are 10 foot in circumference, 10 foot in circumference. And you can leave doors open if you want. It's your float. You're going to be in a suite all by yourself. A locked door separates you from the world, and you control the lock. So But maybe there's somebody else in your life that you think could benefit. Maybe you know somebody that's a little bit stressed out, somebody's having some aches and pains. Maybe there's a student athlete in your life, or maybe just a mom or a dad that just kind of could use some time to themselves. We'd love to be able to help them. You can learn more at truerest.com and follow us on all forms of social media at TrueRest Float Spa of Starkville. That's it for today. Hopefully on Monday we're getting back for a victorious celebration. I feel really good about the game, and we absolutely need this. We're going to have a ton of recruits here. One of the best crowds that we've had recruit-wise this year. And atmosphere should be great. Of course, it's an afternoon kick. It's kind of where we are. But we need to win some ball games, and hopefully by the end of it, we're celebrating a victory under the lights of Davis-Wade Stadium. I hope to see you there. If you're on the fence about coming, get off the fence and come on. You got to make some memories with those kids and the people you love the most. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.